The Cycle of Regret by Kori Arashi, read by X-Men Hater. Summary. After Wei Wuxian's death, Long Wanxi finds himself trapped in a loop, living the same week over and over again, struggling to save the man he loves. The day after Wei Wuxian's death at Nightless City, Long Wanxi woke in his bed at the guest house at Kui Tower with no memory of how he had gotten there. Had his brother brought him back to Lanling? He couldn't imagine why Lan Xichun would have thought that was where he should be. If he had woken still at Nightless City, or back at home in Cloud Recesses, or even in some random inn room somewhere, that would have made more sense. Kui Tower was the last place he wanted to be, after what the Xing clan had done to Wei Wuxian. He imagined, for a moment, breaking half the rules of conduct and just staying in bed. What did it matter if he got out of bed today, or ever again? Wei Wuxian was dead. He hadn't been able to save him. Was there any point in moving forward? The rest of his life seemed unbearably, inescapably long. A lesser person might have succumbed to the weight of that inertia, but he was Long Wanxi, one of the twin jades of the Lan clan, and he got out of bed, dressed, and headed down to breakfast. His brother greeted him quietly, and for a moment Long Wanxi thought about asking him why they were back in Kui Tower, but then decided against it. It didn't matter. He would go anywhere his brother put him. Then Sun Zixuan walked in for breakfast and Long Wanxi inhaled a mouthful of his tea. He spent the next several minutes stifling a coughing fit, wondering what was happening. The conversation around him continued, and Qiang Yanli came in with the baby, and he began to slowly put together where he was. Not where he was, but when he was. It was a week before Wei Wuxian's death. 2 days, perhaps three, before Sun Zixuan's. Or at least before he had imagined them to be. Had it been a dream? A premonition? He kept silent. Nobody thought it was odd, of course. He was well known for keeping silent when at all possible. But his hopes that it had just been a nightmare were dashed with Sun Zixuan's death 2 days later. Then the Wen clan's execution. Everything proceeded exactly as it had before. Wei Wuxian fell. He died. Long Wanxi woke up at Kui Tower. The second time he woke up 6 days before Wei Wuxian's death, Long Wanxi was better prepared for it. He immediately got out of bed and went down to breakfast, contemplating what was happening. He thought he might have read about this in the past, something called a cycle of regret. A person, although not yet deceased, being trapped by their own regrets the same way a ghost would. He would not be able to break out of the cycle until he had addressed those regrets. Fortunately, the regrets were not a complicated question. He had not been able to save Wei Wuxian. Once he did, the cycle would end and he would begin moving forward in time again. The knowledge of this brought a profound relief to him. It would not be easy, he was certain of that, but once he had done it, Wei Wuxian would be restored to him. He would not have to live the rest of his life without ever hearing Wei Wuxian's voice, without ever seeing his smile. The task ahead of him might be monumental, but it was far preferable to the alternative. He had now lived through this week twice and knew the sequence of events. There were several key points that, if they could be changed, would prevent Wei Wuxian's death. He merely had to find the correct one and make the correct changes. He approached this with the same analytical matter he applied to all things. The first and most obvious point to change was the death of Sun Zixuan, and though less important, Sun Zixun. That triggered everything that followed, which culminated in the battle at Nightless City. With the knowledge he now had, it was simpler to find the place where the event had occurred. However, his attempts to intervene once the fight had begun were fruitless. As Wei Wuxian himself struggled to control the situation, Long Wanxi was able to offer no help himself whatsoever. Events continued in their previous course. Wei Wuxian died. Long Wanxi woke up in Kui Tower. He attempted to stop the fight before it began, to reason with Sun Zixun and de-escalate the situation. He tried once, twice, three times, hoping he could come upon the right things to say that would keep things from getting out of hand. He failed. He failed. He failed. Wei Wuxian died. Long Wanxi woke up in Kui Tower. He tried to intercept the parties before they met, and was unable to stop the altercation from happening. Sun Zixun simply didn't give him the time of day. Wei Wuxian listened, and even agreed to take a different route to avoid the confrontation. But Sun Zixun always seemed to find them anyway. Events continued in their previous course. Wei Wuxian died. Long Wanxi woke up in Kui Tower. On the 14th cycle, he finally found a strategy that worked. It was underhanded, true. He was breaking at least 3 rules of conduct. But he had watched Wei Wuxian die 13 times, and he was growing desperate. He slid a mild poison into Sun Zixun's tea at breakfast. It made him so ill he could not leave the bathroom. Wei Wuxian reached Koi Tower unharmed and eager to meet his nephew. Long Wanxi watched from the other side of the room, feeling his nerves ease, as Wei Wuxian spent a delighted hour with his sister and the baby. Then Xing Guangshang arrived and said, "So, Wei Wuxian, about the Stygian Tiger amulet." 5 minutes later, Wei Wuxian was dead. It happened so quickly that Long Wanxi could barely follow what was happening. Qian Yanli was left sobbing over her brother's body while Long Wanxi tried to figure out what went wrong. He woke up the next morning 2 days earlier in his room at Koi Tower. The theory had been sound, Long Wanxi told himself. He had avoided Sun Zixuan's death. He just needed to figure out how to handle things once Wei Wuxian got to Koi Tower and began to spend time with his family.
"About the Stygian Tiger amulet."
"I didn't bring it with me," Wei Wuxian said hastily, clearly thinking that he was about to get into trouble for carrying it into Lanling. "I didn't want trouble. I just want to visit with my nephew." Xing Guangsheng's eyes went cold and hard. Long Wanxi could see what he was thinking. Wei Wuxian was without his tool of demonic cultivation. Remove him now and it would be child's play to get to the burial mounds and find the Stygian Tiger amulet. He drew his sword.
"Clan leader Sin," Jiang Yanli gasped. "Please, not in front of Aling."
Xing Guangsheng hesitated. That brief second of hesitation was all the time Wei Wuxian needed to get to his feet and grab the sword from Sun Zixuan's sheath.
"I don't want trouble," he repeated, his breath coming rapidly. "I just wanted to see my nephew. I'll go."
In the previous cycle, this was where things spiraled out of control. This time, Long Wanxi was ready.
"Clan leader Sin," he said, making his voice sharp and loud, which he hated, to draw attention to himself. "I issued the invitation to Wei Wuxian at your instruction. Do not make me a participant in your act of duplicity."
Xing Guangshan scoffed. Wei Wuxian took several careful steps backward, his gaze flicking around the room, assessing his escape options. Qiang Yanli held Xing Ling to her chest, as if she could shield him from the violence.
"You're not leaving Koi Tower until you agree to stay here while we retrieve the tools of your demonic cultivation from the burial mounds," Xing Guangshan said. "And exterminate those rats you are protecting."
Wei Wuxian held Sun Zixuan's sword in front of himself.
"I'll see every member of the Xing clan dead before I let you touch a hair on my people's head," he said, then added, "except my nephew, naturally." "Wei Wuxian," Xing Guangsheng thundered, "you are surrounded. You have no exit."
Wei Wuxian raised Chen Ting to his lips. Before he could play a single note, the sword went through his back. He choked. Blood spilled out of his mouth, staining his shirt crimson.
"Wei Ying,"
Long Wanxi shouted. Qiang Yanli screamed. Wei Wuxian half turned, slid off the sword, and collapsed to the ground. Xing Guangyao knelt over Wei Wuxian's body, picked up Chen Ting, and held it out to his father with a smile.
"Here you are, father."
Xing Guangsheng clapped his son on the shoulder and said,
"Making yourself useful as always, Guangyao."
"Wei Ying," Long Wanxi whispered. He knelt next to Wei Wuxian's body, rolling him onto his back, passing power through the tips of his fingers as if it would bring him back. It didn't. Long Wanxi woke up in Koi Tower 2 days earlier. He needed to act earlier. The whole set of events stemmed from the invitation to Koi Tower that he himself had sent Wei Wuxian. He could not unsend it. If only the cycle started 24 hours earlier, then he could have avoided suggesting inviting Wei Wuxian at all, so he had to prevent Wei Wuxian from even leaving the burial mounds. He knew the way and was not surprised to find the web of wards across the entrance. He paced in front of it for some time. It seemed so rude to simply cut through it. Wei Wuxian had spent considerable time and energy on the protections he had put in place. But as long as they were in place, Long Wanxi could not reach him in order to tell him that he should stay behind them. Finally, with a regretful sigh, he drew his sword and sliced through them, making a mental note to apologize to Wei Wuxian for his breach of conduct. As soon as he walked into the village, he felt Ayuan latch onto his leg.
"Rich man!" the little boy cheered.
You came back.
Longwanzi frowned at the boy. That is not a polite greeting. You should greet your elders with a bow.
All right, Ayuan said, not letting go of his leg.
So sorry, Hongguanjun, so sorry, Madam Wen said, hurrying up to him.
Ayuan, stop bothering Hongguanjun.
No need to apologize, Longwanzi said. Is Weiying here?
Madam Wen nodded and gestured to the palace.
I'll prepare tea, she said, and pried Ayuan off Longwanzi's leg.
Thank you, Longwanzi said, and headed towards the entrance to the cave.
He found Wei Wuxian in the small inner cave where he slept, hastily throwing things into a bag for his trip.
Lan Chan, Wei Wuxian said, bouncing to his feet. What are you doing here? I figured I would see you at the ceremony.
I will not be at the ceremony, Longwanzi said, and you should not go either.
Wei Wuxian's face was blank with confusion.
Huh? But your letter...
My letter was an error, Longwanzi said. I found out after sending it that Clan Leader Xin only allowed your invitation because he plans to force you to give up the Stygian Tiger amulet. They intend to ambush you.
He saw Wei Wuxian's face fall and wrestled with his own rage over what Xin Guangshan intended.
I apologize for my part in the attempt. I should have realized sooner what they intended and not lifted your hopes by sending the letter.
Don't apologize,
Wei Wuxian said hastily, getting his hands around Longwanzi's forearms before he could start the bow he intended.
It's fine. You came here to warn me. That's what matters. I should have known better than to think they would allow me there.
Longwanzi nodded, then shook his head. It is unfair that you cannot attend the child's naming ceremony.
Wei Wuxian tried to smile.
Tell me about him and my sister.
His voice dropped slightly.
Stay for dinner?
It would be rude to decline your invitation, Longwanzi said.
Wei Wuxian threw his head back and laughed.
That's the Lan Shan I know and remember. Let me show you the lotus plants we're growing.
Longwanzi spent the evening there, telling Wei Wuxian about what was happening in Koi Tower, scraping the bottom of his memory for every story about the baby that he had overheard. It was difficult, since babies were not known to be particularly exciting creatures, but he tried. It was the most he had spoken at one time in years. He departed as the sun set, watching as Wei Wuxian reassembled the wards behind him. He headed back to Koi Tower, secure in the knowledge that Wei Wuxian would remain safe in the burial mounds, that the Xin clan would not be able to touch in there. He stayed for the naming ceremony, watched Xin Guangshan's annoyance that Wei Wuxian had not fallen into his trap with some satisfaction. But the satisfaction turned to alarm as Xin Guangshan began to speak about how Wei Wuxian had defied the wills of the major clans for too long, that it could not be allowed, that if he would not turn over the Stygian Tiger amulet of his own free will, they would have to take it from him. Thankfully, Lan Xichen intervened, counseling caution, patience. Tiang Yanli was still recovering from the birth of her first child. To upset her now by going after her brother would be unwise. Xin Guangshan scoffed, saying that Wei Wuxian was not her brother any longer, having renounced the Tiang clan.
That might be true, Lan Xichen said, but she still holds great affection for him. Perhaps, given the timing, we can allow Wei Wuxian to continue to live in peace.
Xin Guangshan grumbled but agreed, and Longwanzi went to bed feeling much relieved. When he woke the next day, Koi Tower was suspiciously quiet. He went looking for Lan Xichen as soon as he could, but found Qiang Yanli instead, cradling the baby and crying softly.
Xin Furen, what is wrong?
They've gone after Asian,
she said, wiping her eyes, and Longwanzi felt his blood run cold.
I tried to convince them not to. I begged Sichuan to talk to his father, but even with his help...
Longwanzi knelt in front of her and said,
I will go to warn him as quickly as I am able.
And before she could even give a teary nod, he was on his feet and dashing out of Koi Tower.
He was too late.
The wards that Wei Wuxian had assembled around the burial mounds were shredded, the paths trampled by what must have been dozens, possibly hundreds of men. Xin Guangshan had left nothing to chance. The Xin clan's men were still there, tearing up the crops, rolling the bodies into piles to be burned. Longwanzi ignored them, rushing through the small clearing, desperately searching for Wei Wuxian. He saw a speck of red and gold, saw Wen Qing being heaved into a pile of bodies. He saw the way even the lotus plants had been ripped from the pond.
Wei Wuxian's body was crouched protectively over Aoyuan, both of them bloody and mangled. Long Wanxi felt tears start to fall. He told himself it didn't matter. There would be another chance. He would find a way to save them. He would not allow Wei Wuxian to die. He reached out and gently touched Wei Wuxian's cheek, wiping away a bead of blood that had fallen there. He would find a way. He woke up in Koi Tower 3 days earlier. Long Wanxi had attempted to save Wei Wuxian 43 times before he decided that Sun Zixuan could not also be saved. No matter how he avoided that conflict, it always ended in Wei Wuxian's death. There would have to be another way. Long Wanxi had attempted to save Wei Wuxian 57 times before he decided that the Wen refugees could not also be saved. No matter how he avoided their execution, it always ended in Wei Wuxian's death. There would have to be another way. There was only the battle at Nightless City. He chose moment after moment to intervene. He chose different words to say, different actions to take. He chose different people to attempt to influence. Wei Wuxian fell. Wei Wuxian died. Long Wanxi woke up in Koi Tower. He tried to protect Jiang Yanli above all else. Her death was the final factor, the deciding blow that drove Wei Wuxian off the cliff. But every time he saved her, Wei Wuxian was killed. By Xing Guangshan, by Xing Guangyao, by people whose names he didn't even know. Week after week, he woke in Koi Tower and began planning his new strategy for that night. He planted seeds with the people who would be there, attempted to soften the harsh blows that would come. He went to Nightless City with a new plan. Wei Wuxian fell. Wei Wuxian died. Long Wanxi woke up in Koi Tower. His attempts became more outlandish, driven both from desperation and the knowledge that nothing he did mattered. Nobody would remember his rude words or strange actions. In a week, the cycle would begin again, and his bizarre behavior would be forgotten as if it had never happened, because it never had. Wei Wuxian fell. Wei Wuxian died. Long Wanxi woke up in Koi Tower. He deflected the knife from Jiang Yanli's chest, and it sunk into his own. It drove the breath out of him, and yes, there was pain, but the pain was nothing compared to yet another time watching Wei Wuxian let himself fall from the cliff. Lan Chan, Wei Wuxian cried out, cradling him in his arms. Lan Chan, no, please, don't go. With his little remaining strength, Long Wanxi reached up and traced the tear tracks on Wei Wuxian's face. Don't cry, he whispered. He could die without regret if it meant that Wei Wuxian would live. As his vision darkened, he saw Wei Wuxian's back as he walked towards the cliff. He woke up in Koi Tower. It wasn't so much that Long Wanxi lost count as that he purposefully stopped keeping count. It was too heartbreaking, adding to a tally that seemed like it would become endless. If there was a way to break the cycle, he simply could not find it. The only comfort he had was that at least his attempts to help didn't seem to make the situation worse. He wasn't sure how that would be possible, but the fear of it had faded over time. At a loss, he finally turned to something that he was never fond of doing and asked for help. Zhang Sheng, he said to Lan Xichen after their breakfast had concluded. May I seek your counsel? Of course, Lan Xichen said, with the steadying smile that he often wore. Is this about Wei Gongzu? It often irritated Long Wanxi that every time he seemed troubled, his brother assumed it was about Wei Wuxian. Of course, his brother was almost always correct in assuming that, but it still irked him sometimes. This, however, was not the time to address that grievance, so he merely nodded. Lan Xichen poured them both a cup of tea. When Long Wanxi still didn't speak, he said, "What troubles you?" Long Wanxi took a deep breath and committed himself to telling the story. I am trapped in a cycle of regret, he said, and saw his brother's forehead wrinkle with concern. I have spent quite some time living the same week repeatedly. It always culminates in Wei Ying's death. Lan Xichen put the teapot down and said, At whose hands? The circumstances change. Usually it is Clan Leader Xin or one of his disciples. Long Wanxi picked up his cup of tea, but then put it down without taking a drink. As you heard yesterday, they only allowed his invitation to the naming ceremony in an attempt to force him to give up the Stygian Tiger amulet. He is not inclined to give it up. The situation escalates. Long Wanxi found frustration coloring his voice despite his best efforts. No matter what I do in my attempts to prevent it, the situation always escalates. People are killed on both sides, often Sin Sichuan and Cheng Yanli, and Wei Ying, always Wei Ying. Lan Xichen studied his brother for a long moment.
How many times?
Long Wanxi looked away and said,
I have stopped counting.
The silence sat between them. Lan Xichen took a drink of his tea, looking pensive.
And the cycle restarts after Wei Gongsu's death?
Yes. Long Wanxi thought back to the time at Nightless City when he had shielded Cheng Yanli from the attack.
Or mine.
That made Lan Xichen shift in his seat uncomfortably, obviously hating the idea of his younger brother being killed.
How many times has your own death ended the cycle?
Only once.
Interesting. Do you know for certain that Wei Gongsu survived after you died?
Meng Wanxi frowned, thinking back.
No, it was in the thick of battle. He very well could have perished after I was gone.
Lan Xichen nodded.
I suspect he did. Wei Gongsu's death is what fuels the cycle of regret. You would have been at peace with your death if it had saved his life, I believe.
Yes, Long Wanxi says quietly, thinking back to that moment where Wei Wuxian had been cradling his dying body, the tears splashing down onto his face. There had been peace there.
But whatever you did that cycle that resulted in your death still wasn't enough to save Wei Gongzu's life.
Lan Xichen took a sip of his tea.
The regret that traps you is your own failure.
Long Wanxi considered thanking his brother for stating that particular point out loud, but decided that to do so would be unacceptably petty. He settled instead for asking,
What do you think I should do?
Would you be willing to give me more details on the events of the cycles? Lan Xichen asked. Long Wanxi nodded and began a recitation of all he could remember. Lan Xichen finished his tea but did not leave his seat, listening as Long Wanxi spoke. This was the most he had spoken at one time in years, but he wanted to be thorough, to include as much detail as he could. If the smallest fact could help his brother find a solution, he would talk until his vocal cords stopped functioning. When he finished, Lan Xichen said, If each cycle is roughly a week, it seems as though you have been trapped in the cycle for over a year, perhaps longer. He saw Long Wanxi nod and said,
It must have been terribly difficult for you.
The difficulty is not my issue, Long Wanxi said, since he absolutely did not want to discuss it. The issue is that I cannot find a solution.
It seems you have focused on 3 points, Lan Xichen said. The death of Sin Zishuan, the execution of the Wen refugees, and the events of Nightless City. I believe that there is one you are missing.
Long Wanxi gave him a questioning look.
The battle at the burial mounds, Lan Xichen said. You know, you are able to prevent his death here in Lanling from warning him from coming here. Doing so also prevents the execution of the Wen refugees, which then prevents the Battle of Nightless City. However, when you do this, the Xing clan attacks the burial mounds.
Long Wanxi nodded. He knew this, of course. He could carve the sequence of events onto the backs of his arms. He knew all of it so well. But he didn't interrupt his brother.
But that particular battle is one you have never witnessed, Lan Xichen said. You have never been present for it.
That is true, Long Wanxi said. He thought back to the first time he had stumbled upon the aftermath of that battle, of Wei Wuxian's mangled body crouched over Ayuan's bloody one. He had never been able to go back to that killing field, had pushed the thought of it far out of his mind. He had always assumed that there would be nothing he could do there. The Xing clan brought an army. They had defeated Wei Wuxian and Wen Ning. What could he do to prevent the slaughter? His thoughts had always hinged on keeping the army away from Wei Wuxian, never on fighting it beside him.
I do not know what difference your being there would make, Lan Xichen said, and I am hesitant to advise you to go. However, it seems to me that this is the largest opportunity to change the course of events that you have not already tried.
Long Wanxi nodded again. He stood and bowed to his brother.
Thank you for your counsel, Xiangsheng.
Lan Xichen returned the bow and said, Should this fail, please consult me again. I will assist you in any way possible. Unlike the first few times Long Wanxi had approached the burial mounds, when he had paced outside the wards, trying to find an alternative to breaking through them, he no longer hesitated. He slashed apart Wei Wuxian's ward with a quick slice of his sword, then put up one of his own to replace it. It wasn't a short walk to Demon Subdue Palace, but Meng Wanxi took it in even, unhurried strides, as he always did. He took the time to think over the strategy. The first part wouldn't be too difficult. He had, after all, done it before. It was when Wei Wuxian inevitably started to ask questions that things might get complicated. He barely reached the outskirts of the clearing when he felt the boy glom onto his leg.
"Rich man!" Ayuman cheered. "You came back!"
With the ease of long practice, Meng Wanxi kept the smile off his face.
"That is not a polite greeting," he informed the boy, who just grinned happily at him. "You should greet your elders with a bow."
"All right,"
Ayuan said, not letting go of his leg.
So sorry, Hong Guanjun, so sorry,"
Madam Wen said, hurrying up to him.
"Ayuan, stop bothering Hong Guanjun."
"He is not a bother," Meng Wanxi said. "Is Wei Ying here?"
Madam Wen nodded and gestured to the palace. "I'll prepare tea," she said, and pried Ayuan off Meng Wanxi's leg.
"Thank you," Meng Wanxi said.
He headed up the terrace and into the palace to find Wei Wuxi in the same place that he had found him from previous times, in the little alcove where he slept, going through his belongings. He watched for a moment, feeling, as always, the little pulse of relief to see Wei Wuxian alive again. Then he cleared his throat. Wei Wuxian's head whipped around, and the expression of startled suspicion cleared into joy.
"Lan Chan," he said, bouncing to his feet. "What are you doing here? I figured I would see you at the ceremony."
"I will not be at the ceremony," Meng Wanxi said, "and you should not go either."
Wei Wuxian's face was blank with confusion.
"Huh? But your letter..."
"My letter was an error," Meng Wanxi said, watching Wei Wuxian's face fall. "I found out after sending it that Clan Leader Xin only allowed your invitation because he plans to attempt to force you to give up the Stygian Tiger amulet. They intend to ambush you."
He saw the disappointment, the heartbreak on Wei Wuxian's face. It hurt, just like it did every time.
"I apologize for my part in the attempt. I should have realized sooner what they intended, and not lifted your hopes by sending the letter."
Don't apologize," Wei Wuxian said hastily, getting his hands around Meng Wanxi's forearms before he could start the bow he intended. "It's fine. You came here to warn me, that's what matters. I should have known better than to think they would allow me there."
Meng Wanxi could see right through his attempts to pretend that this didn't matter, but didn't call attention to them.
"If you do not come to the ceremony, they intend to come here to force the issue."
Wei Wuxian scoffed.
"I'd like to see them try."
"You would not," Meng Wanxi said, scowling more intensely than he meant to. "They will send an army, cultivators from near and far. They know what you can do. They will not underestimate you."
Wei Wuxian was silent for a minute, pensive in a way that looked wrong on him, so alien to everything he had once been.
"There's nowhere left for us to go," he finally said. "So they'll send whoever they send, and I'll fight them all off."
"Do you genuinely think you can?" Meng Wanxi asked.
"It doesn't matter what I think."
Wei Wuxian sounded tired and more than a little sad. It made Meng Wanxi want to start climbing the walls, to personally hunt down every person who had contributed to that sadness inside Wei Wuxian and kill them, even though the majority of them were already dead. He would kill them again and again for diminishing the joy Wei Wuxian had once held.
"It only matters what I have to do."
"We," Meng Wanxi said, the word slipping out so easily that he couldn't believe he had never seen that this was the moment he needed to change.
"Eh?"
Wei Wuxian said, blinking at him in surprise.
"What we have to do," Meng Wanxi said. "What the Xing clan is doing is wrong. I will stay here and fight to protect these people. It is the right thing to do, the just thing to do. I should have realized that from the beginning. You have my deepest apologies."
Wei Wuxian was standing there with his jaw open, and he let out a slightly nervous laugh.
"So formal, Lan Chan. I always knew why you didn't come with me. You have your own clan and their reputation to worry about, and..."
"No," Meng Wanxi said. "My clan's reputation should not come before justice or before protecting innocent people. I never should have left your side, nor will I ever do so again."
There was a beat of silence, and Meng Wanxi watched it sink in with a satisfaction that he had not wholly anticipated. He watched the emotions flicker across Wei Wuxian's face. Wariness, followed by surprise, followed by a relief so intense that it brought tears to his eyes, although none fell. Wei Wuxian nodded, tried to speak, and had to clear his throat.
Tea, thank you, Madam Wen.
Lung Wanxi was torn between being annoyed that he hadn't gotten to hear what Wei Wuxian was going to say, and being glad that a potentially awkward moment had been prevented. He followed Wei Wuxian over to the table and sat down across from him, allowing Madam Wen to pour them both tea. When she finished, Wei Wuxian said, "Can you find Wen Ting and tell her that I need to speak with her?"
"Of course," Madam Wen said and left the cave.
Wei Wuxian took a sip of his tea and retreated to talking business.
"You said they're sending an army. How much about it do you know?"
Less than he would have liked, but Lung Wanxi reminded himself that even if this did not work, if they still died on the burial mounds, he would have another chance. He could use this cycle to gain information on the Xing clan's forces if need be. But he thought back to what he had seen in the aftermath of that battle and began detailing the forces he knew had been present. Wen Ting arrived in the middle of this recitation, and Lung Wanxi paused briefly while Wei Wuxian explained the circumstances to her. When he was finished, she said,
"It sounds as though more people are coming than you and An Ning can hope to counter."
"Lan Chan is staying," Wei Wuxian said immediately, giving Lung Wanxi a smile that was almost shy, like he was afraid of showing exactly how happy that made him.
"He will fight with us."
Wen Ting was almost insultingly unimpressed and simply amended her statement to, "It sounds as though more people are coming than you, An Ning, and Hung Wan Jun can hope to counter."
"Ah, don't be rude to Lan Chan," Wei Wuxian protested.
"She is correct," Lung Wanxi said, despite how much he would have loved to argue otherwise. "We will need reinforcements. I will ask my brother if we can depend on the support of our clan. You should also ask yours."
At this, the smile faded off Wei Wuxian's face, and he looked away.
"Qiang Cheng has already made his opinions on this matter clear. He will not support me in any way as long as I am protecting the remnants of the Wen clan."
Wen Ting opened her mouth as if there was something else she wanted to say, but then closed it and studied her mug of tea.
"He would not previously," Lung Wanxi said. "However, if I can persuade my brother to support us, then the political balance will shift. He will be in a better position to stand against the Xin clan, particularly given the circumstances. I cannot imagine Cheng Wanyan will approve of the Xin clan's deception, of their using his nephew's naming ceremony as an attempt to ambush you, of their statements that they wish to give you a chance to turn back to normal cultivation, only to send an army when you do not accept their invitation."
"Maybe," Wei Wuxian said. He shook his head, but then repeated more softly, "Maybe."
"We will persuade him," Lung Wanxi said, thinking,
although certainly not saying, that he was going to persuade Jiang Cheng with a swift kick in the ass if necessary.
"In the meantime, I will send a message to my brother to summon him to the field outside so we may discuss this with him."
"I'll go tell An Ning what's happening,"
Wen Ting said, rising from the table. She fell into step beside Lung Wanxi as he headed outside, where there was better light for writing. Wei Wuxian stayed behind, apparently settling into a brood. Wen Ting glanced at Lung Wanxi as they walked, seemed to hesitate, and then said, "Hong Guan Jun, may I speak with you privately?"
"Certainly," Lung Wanxi said, continuing his measured steps until they were out of earshot from the refugees.
Wen Ting turned to face him and said, "How do you know so much detail about the coming forces?"
"I have seen them."
"No," Wen Ting said. "You have not. They have not assembled yet. The way you are describing the situation is that the army will assemble after it becomes clear to Clan Leader Xin that Wei Wuxian is not going to attend the naming ceremony. Then he gathers his forces and they march to the burial mounds. So I ask you again, Hong Guan Jun, how do you know so much detail about the coming forces?"
Lung Wanxi absolutely did not want to answer that question, did not want to tell Wen Ting about how many times he has watched both her and her people die.
"What do you know that could lead Jiang Wanyan to help us that you are not saying?"
"Ah,"
Wen Ting looked furious for a moment, but would not meet his gaze. Softly, she said, "It is a matter of confidence, a promise I cannot break."
"Even if Jiang Wanyan's assistance stands between your life and death, your brother's life and death?"
Wen Ting said nothing.
"The army is coming," Lung Wanxi said, "regardless of how I know about them. Perhaps if you reveal your own secrets,
I may be persuaded to reveal mine. There was silence for a long moment before Wen Ting raised her head, looked him in the eye, and said, Long Wanxi, sometimes I do not like you very much.
You would not be the first, Long Wanxi said, slightly amused despite himself. But I believe you would give your life for Wei Ying. I would do the same. If you will believe me, as I believe you, then I think we should have no issues working together to protect him.
Wen Ting nodded. I will think about what you said, she told him, and then turned and walked away. Despite Long Wanzi's internal impatience, he gave no sign of it while they waited for a response from Lan Xichen. He knew that it would take a day for the message to reach Lan Xichen, and that his brother would not be able to leave Lan Ling until after the naming ceremony. As the leader of their clan, his attendance was expected, and to miss it would be an egregious breach of conduct. In truth, Long Wanxi did not mind that delay. Although he himself did not need confirmation that the Xin clan was furious at Wei Wuxian for not falling into their trap, he thought both Wei Wuxian and Wen Ting would need to hear that the forces really were on their way. The night he arrived, Wei Wuxian insisted that he sleep in the cave, where he himself normally slept. I'm the host and you're the guest, he chided Long Wanxi gently. How could I make you sleep on the floor? I'm sure that one of the Lan clan's 3,000 rules of conduct forbids it. Besides, I won't sleep tonight anyway. I'll keep watch with Wen Ning. It wasn't necessary to keep watch, but Long Wanxi couldn't explain how he knew that, so he nodded and accepted the bed that Wei Wuxian offered. For years, he had gone to bed precisely at 9 in the evening and woken at precisely 5 in the morning. He had carried on this habit regardless of where in the world he was, from Qinghe to Lan Ling to dirty caves infested with murderous tortoises. He did not expect sleeping in Demon Subdue Palace to be any different. Indeed, it was not, at least not in the timing of his slumber. The dreams, though, those were different, vivid and intense, brought on by the scent of Wei Wuxian on the pillow pressed against his face. He had to meditate for nearly 20 minutes before he was fit to leave the cave. The refugees were up at dawn as well, and since Wei Wuxian had not slept, he came down to have breakfast with the rest of them. It was enjoyable in a way it had not been during his last visit, to watch him interact with the refugees. They were as fiercely protective of him as he was of them. They were wary of Long Wanxi, suspicious of his motives, and resentful that he had left Wei Wuxian alone. Upon hearing that Long Wanxi intended to stay, their demeanor considerably thawed. Their gratitude and love for Wei Wuxian was visible in everything they said and did. They made it clear in every movement that they would die for him. Thinking of how many times they had done so, the rice stuck in Long Wanxi's throat. It took him several moments to compose himself. There was nothing left to do besides wait, so Long Wanxi applied himself to working in the gardens with the other refugees. It was never good to have idle hands at a time like this. Wei Wuxian, for his part, did not seem to share Long Wanxi's feelings about the matter. He lounged on one of the carts, letting the refugees do the work. Wen Ting occasionally chided him, but she never seemed to mean it.
Are your arms and legs broken? Long Wanxi asked, looking at where Wei Wuxian was sprawled out. Is there a reason you do not work?
I'm susceptible to heat stroke, Wei Wuxian told him, fanning himself with a leaf.
Long Wanxi gave him a withering look of disappointment. You are lazy.
That too, Wei Wuxian agreed tearfully. Ah, don't give me that look. I'll help. He jumped to his feet and began sweet-talking the lotus plants. It wasn't exactly work, but at least he was putting in a token effort. Ah Yuan came over to sit with him, and Wei Wuxian pulled the child into his lap and started telling him a story instead of working. Several minutes later, it occurred to Long Wanxi that he himself had stopped working, and he was just watching Wei Wuxian and Ah Yuan. He saw several of the refugees looking at him, amused at his staring, and hastily redirected his attention. All in all, it was a day he would not have minded reliving. It had been a very long year, so when Long Wanxi's temper finally slipped the next day, he figured he could probably be forgiven, even as he made a mental note to kneel and reflect later. Things started out well enough. Wei Wuxian was respectful. Lan Xichen complimented him on how well the refugees had been taken care of, and how much they had made from so little. He explained to Wei Wuxian and Wen Ting that, yes, Xin Guangshang was furious that Wei Wuxian had not delivered himself into their clutches. He was marshaling his forces as they spoke. Wei Wuxian attempted to remain flippant about this, despite Wen Qing's disapproving looks. Long Wanxi considered everything his brother was saying, and then carefully considered everything he was not saying, and finally said, "I do not believe we have the forces needed to protect these people from the Xing clan." Lan Xichen looked around and nodded soberly. "Unfortunately, I agree." "There's nowhere else for us to go," Wei Wuxian said. "We'll have to stand and fight." He bowed deeply to Lan Xichen and said, "It would honor me if you would fight alongside us." "Ah," Lan Xichen said, glancing at Lan Wanxi. "That is why you asked me here?" Wei Wuxian bowed again. "Se Wujun, these people are innocent. The Lan rules of conduct forbid leaving an innocent in danger." That made a smile flicker across Lan Xichen's face. "I certainly did not anticipate a day when you would quote the Lan rules of conduct to me," he said, a gentle tease. "And you are not wrong, but things are never as black and white as the rules would make them seem. There are consequences to every course of action, even the just, righteous ones." "I agree," Wei Wuxian said, and gestured to the burial mounds. "That's why I am where I am." Lan Xichen nodded. "These people are innocent, but very few outside here perceive them to be such. And as much as you saved their lives, you have also contributed to their reputation. By following the path of demonic cultivation, your ill reputation stains them, as theirs does you." Wei Wuxian opened his mouth to protest, and Lan Xichen held up a hand to forestall him, continuing, "I am not saying I disagree with all your actions, nor am I saying I am familiar with all the evidence. I am merely saying, from an outside perspective, to those who did not know you and are not familiar with the trials you and your family have gone through, neither you nor the Wen refugees will ever be innocent." "Fine," Wei Wuxian said, the word brief, cut off, steeped in bitterness. "I should have known better than to think the great Se Wujun would concern himself with me after everything I've done." "Again, this is not meant to be a criticism of you," Lan Xichen said patiently. "Only an explanation of how, from a political standpoint, this is a complicated matter." That was when Lan Wanxi's temper finally gave. "Allow me to simplify matters for you, Shangsheng," he said, and reached out to take Wei Wuxian's hand in his own. Wei Wuxian gave him a questioning look, which Lan Wanxi ignored in favor of looking his brother directly in the eyes. He unfastened his forehead ribbon and, with a quick gesture from his free hand, sent it sliding around their joined hands, neatly tying itself in a knot. Lan Xichen held his gaze for another minute, and then, surprising Lan Wanxi, he gave a slight smile. "Ah," he said, "I see." Wei Wuxian blinked between the two of them uncertainly, and still Lan Wanxi ignored his gaze in favor of holding his brother's. "In that case," Lan Xichen said, and gave Wei Wuxian a slight bow, "you will have the Lan clan's protection against the Xing clan." "Oh, thank you," Wei Wuxian said, clearly still confused, but returning the bow much more deeply. "I will have some preparations to make," Lan Xichen said. "I will need to send messages to many of our cultivators. Is there a place that would suit?" "This way," Wei Wuxian said, breaking out of his confusion. He realized he was still tethered to Lan Wanxi and frowned slightly at the place where their hands were joined and tied in place with the ribbon. "Should we untie that now?" "No," Lan Wanxi said, and did not offer further explanation. Gently, Lan Xichen said, "I think perhaps the tradition of leaving the ribbon bound for 7 days might be impractical, given the circumstances." Lan Wanxi carefully kept the scowl off his face. "I suppose," he said grudgingly, and untied the ribbon with a quick gesture. Then he handed it to Wei Wuxian. Acutely aware of their audience, he said quietly, "Wei Ying, would you please retie it for me?" "Of course." Confusion aside, Wei Wuxian seemed to understand that request. He took the ribbon back and carefully fastened it around Lan Wanxi's forehead. Then he smiled, and it was like the sun coming out after a year of rainy days. They stared at each other so long that Wen Qing politely cleared her throat and said, "This way, Clan Leader Lan." "I should send a message to Qiang Cheng," Wei Wuxian said. "Since Se Wujun is supporting us, maybe Qiang Cheng will as well." There was a lot to do. Plenty of preparations needed to be made. Lan Wanxi reluctantly allowed Wei Wuxian out of his sight occasionally, but stuck close to him for most of the day. It wasn't until dinner time that they managed to sit down together. Wei Wuxian kept sneaking looks at him, that little smile blooming at the corners of his mouth whenever he did.
Se Wu Jun must be so disappointed, though, Wen Ning said, as Wen Ting guided him into the chair between herself and Wei Wuxian.
Meng Wanzi was about to scowl when Wen Ning continued. He didn't get a chance to plan a big wedding.
Mouthful of turnip, Wei Wuxian asked.
What wedding?
Wen Qing looked at him in disbelief. Then she looked at Meng Wanzi. He found that he was smiling, unable to help it.
He'll figure it out on his own, he murmured to Wen Qing, if you give him enough time.
She gave a quiet snort. Her brother, however, said, Yours in Hongguan Jun's, of course. Wei Wuxian choked on the turnip and looked disbelievingly around the table.
You're joking. Lan Chan would never marry me. I break 15 rules of conduct a day.
Wen Ting had to quickly stifle her laughter with her napkin. Meng Wanzi tried to stop smiling fondly at the idiot he was in love with.
But the ribbon ceremony?
Wen Ning was completely lost. Wei Wuxian looked over at Meng Wanzi and shrugged, saying,
They might take me on as an honorary member of their clan because it lets them protect us without pissing off the other clans, besides the Xing clan, who are going to be pissed no matter what, but that's a little different from marrying me.
Did you open a single book of Lan history or culture while you were in Cloud Recesses? Wen Ting asked, still trying not to laugh. Are you seriously going to sit here at this table and say you don't understand that not only is Hongguan Jun willing to marry you, he literally already did 4 hours ago?
Wei Wuxian stared at Meng Wanzi, his jaw slightly open.
That was a wedding ceremony?
It was part of a wedding ceremony, Meng Wanzi said, then added, the most important part.
You married me?
Meng Wanzi nodded.
In front of people?
Wei Wuxian pressed. Wen Ting had to bring the napkin back up to her face.
Because otherwise Se Wu Jun wouldn't have protected us.
100 emotions chased each other across Wei Wuxian's face. Sorrow, pain, anger, disappointment.
I guess I should thank you, but...
No. Meng Wanzi gripped Wei Wuxian's wrist. The circumstances of the coming attack are why I did this now, in the way that I did. But they are not the reason I did it.
Then what was the reason? Wei Wuxian asked.
You are, Meng Wanzi said. You are the reason for everything I do. You are the reason I wake up in the morning, the reason I draw each breath.
He felt a sudden pang of unease. What if he was the one who had misjudged? What if Wei Wuxian hadn't wanted this? What if he had just forced Wei Wuxian into a terrible position?
I should have spoken to you first, if you don't want this.
Don't want this? Wei Wuxian blurted out. Are you out of your mind? Give me your face, I'm kissing you now.
The first touch of Wei Wuxian's lips against his sent a shiver down his spine, in the best sort of way. Wei Wuxian kissed him once, twice, three times, then pulled away and traced his fingers along the forehead ribbon. He was smiling so brightly that it seemed to light up the entire room. Then he whispered, We can have a real wedding if Se Wu Jun wants to plan one.
He will, Meng Wanzi told him, and kissed him again.
As the end of the day grew closer, Meng Wanzi found himself uncomfortably nervous. It was an emotion he wasn't overly accustomed to. He knew married couples did things that he was wholly unfamiliar with and wasn't sure of exactly what Wei Wuxian might expect of him. His level of experience in this realm was restricted to a brief but basic education on where babies came from, something that he was sure did not apply to himself and Wei Ying. That, and the one pornographic image he had accidentally looked at thanks to his new husband, back in the Cloud Recesses. He had no idea if Wei Wuxian's level of experience was comparable or not. They had been separated for a long time, and he knew very little about Wei Wuxian's life during those times. He was somewhat relieved to see that Wei Wuxian looked as nervous as he did as the time that they normally parted for the night arrived. Surprisingly, Wei Wuxian's clear anxiety soothed Meng Wanzi's feelings on the matter. He nodded and said, I would like it if you would stay with me. Wei Wuxian's smile blossomed again, and he seemed to recover some of his original spirit.
I never got to the Lan clan's rules of conduct on this particular subject. If you sleep from precisely 9 p.m. to 5 a.m., is there a time set aside for bedroom activities? Lung Wansi glowered at him, but was then forced to admit, I don't know.
I read in a book that the middle of the night is the best time, Wei Wuxian said sagely, as if he were an expert on such matters, despite the fact that he clearly was not.
Lung Wansi was vaguely curious about what book that was and if he should read it also. It sounded educational.
I see.
Ah, I'm joking, Wei Wuxian said, apparently put off by his expression. I mean, not about the book that was real, but I mean, we don't have to do anything like that. Not if you don't want to. We can just sleep.
Glad that they were finally without an audience, Lung Wansi said. I do want to.
Wei Wuxian looked at him closely, as if attempting to gauge his sincerity.
Do you mean that?
Lung Wansi wondered if there were any words in his vocabulary to express his feelings on the matter, on exactly how badly he wanted this, even if he wasn't entirely certain what this would entail. How badly he wanted his hands on Wei Wuxian's skin and Wei Wuxian's hands on his skin. How those few kisses they had shared so far had ignited a fire in him that he doubted anything would ever extinguish. How it was taking every molecule of self-control that years of meditation and discipline had instilled in him, not to grab Wei Wuxian by the face and start kissing him right now. He settled for, yes. Wei Wuxian kissed him, and Lung Wansi thought that every cycle, every death, every morning he had woken up back at the beginning, with the familiar feeling of panic and pain, was worth it for that moment. Tiang Sheng arrived the next afternoon with about a dozen of the Qiang clan cultivators behind him. Like Lung Wansi, he cut his way through the wards to make his way to the village, something that apparently annoyed Wei Wuxian from his brother in a way that it hadn't annoyed him from Lung Wansi.
You could at least put a new ward up behind you, he said.
Why?
Tiang Cheng asked.
I won't be here long. You can just put yours up again when I leave.
Wei Wuxian's expression tightened and he looked away. Lung Wansi resisted the familiar urge to tell Tiang Cheng to stop being an asshole.
The Xing clan is amassing an army to come kill me, Wei Wuxian said.
I know, Tiang Cheng said. Atsia told me.
She's been trying to convince them not to, but Clan Leader Sin is set on it. You've been getting away with defying the will of the major clans too long.
As always, Wei Wuxian looked happy to hear about his sister, who still loved him, but then sad to be reminded of their separation. He said,
Sebu Jun and Lan Chan have agreed to stay and help us protect the village.
That clearly surprised Jiang Cheng. He turned to Lan Xichen, who had been listening silently, and bowed.
I appreciate your efforts to help Wei Wuxian, Sebu Jun, but surely this will cause trouble for you. Please don't break your alliance with the Xing clan over this.
Lan Xichen smiled gently and said to Qiang Cheng,
Whatever trouble it causes will be handled as it comes. Wansi has made his feelings on the matter quite clear and I will honor his wishes.
Qiang Cheng frowned at Lung Wansi. Lung Wansi frowned back. Finally, Qiang Cheng said,
If you have the support of Sebu Jun, then our alliance with the Lan clan dictates that I should stay and help. But my alliance with the Xing clan dictates I should not. Why would you put me in that position?
The Xin clan is putting you in this position, Wei Wuxian retorted.
Not me. I just want to be left alone to tend my turnips. They're the ones who made a decision that it couldn't be allowed. They're the ones who decided to murder innocent people just because of who their clan leader used to be. Don't put this on my shoulders, Qiang Cheng. I've done my best to avoid this exact conflict for this exact reason.
Qiang Cheng's mouth tightened. He looked away, but then nodded abruptly.
Very well. The Qiang clan will support you, and I will fight beside you on one condition.
Which is? Wei Wuxian asked warily.
I will fight beside you if you wield Sui Bian instead of Chen Ting.
Lung Wansi watched the wariness turn to frustration, anger, disappointment, and then finally a weary resignation. Wei Wuxian bowed to Tiang Cheng and said,
Then I'm sorry I wasted your time by asking you to come here. Please tell Shuxia I wish her the best. Give Aoling a kiss from me.
Tiang Cheng scowled as Wei Wuxian turned to walk away. Wen Qing grabbed Wei Wuxian by the wrist and said,
Tell him.
Wei Wuxian flinched away from her grip.
Wen Qing, I can't.
All our lives hang in the balance. Anning's life hangs in the balance. Tell him why you won't wield Sui Bian, or I will.
You promised,
Wei Wuxian snapped, rage flaring in his eyes. Wen Qing's mouth tightened and she looked away.
She promised, Wen Ning said quietly. But I didn't.
Wei Wuxian turned the ferocious glare on him.
Wen Ning, I told you that if you ever...
Wen Ning looked to the others, bowed to Qiang Cheng, and said,
He's lost his golden core. He gave it to you after you lost yours.
The words knocked the breath out of Lung Wanxi. He turned to stare at Wei Wuxian, who looked furious at Wen Ning. 100 little things finally made sense. It was so obvious now that he knew that he couldn't believe he had never figured it out on his own. Of course Wei Wuxian wouldn't voluntarily give up Sui Bian. Of course he wouldn't turn to this unorthodox way of cultivation unless the normal ways were cut off to him. Of course, of course, of course. At the same time, he couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe that something so precious had been taken from Wei Wuxian. Couldn't believe his friend had been carrying this burden, and he had never realized, never been able to help, never even offered words of comfort to help with the loss. Tiang Cheng was staring at his brother with his jaw slightly ajar.
What? No. We went up into the mountains. I met Baoshan Sanren. You...
His voice trailed off. Lung Wanxi watched the pieces fall into place for him.
Why?
Tiang Cheng finally said. The tears in Wei Wuxian's eyes finally spilled over.
You're my brother. You were in pain. How could I do any less?
Silence sat in the clearing for a moment that felt like an eternity. Lung Wanxi watched the tears gather at the corner of Qiang Cheng's eyes, watched him wrestle with the terrible knowledge of what Wei Wuxian had given up for him. Even more so than anyone else here, Qiang Cheng understood what the loss meant. He had felt it too. He knew exactly how painful it was. Lung Wanxi wondered if he would have done the same in Wei Wuxian's place. He pictured Lan Xichen losing his golden core, pictured himself giving up his own to heal his brother. He couldn't imagine it. He could sooner rip his own heart out of his chest and put it in Lan Xichen's. Wei Wuxian had done it, only to be torn away from his family and dropped into the burial mounds to die. But he hadn't died. He had stood back up and kept walking, fighting against the emptiness inside him with every step. The strength that must have taken was unfathomable to Lung Wanxi. He had always known that Wei Wuxian was strong, but he had never realized how much. Finally, Qiang Cheng stepped forward. He put his arms around Wei Wuxian, hugged him close. Wei Wuxian was stiff in his embrace for a second, and then a sob tore out of him from somewhere deep inside. He relaxed into Qiang Cheng's arms, clutching at the back of his shirt, burying his face in his brother's shoulder. Come, Lan Xichen said quietly. We should give them some privacy. Reluctantly, Lung Wanxi allowed himself to be drawn away. As they walked away, Wen Ting turned to her brother and said,
An Ning, don't come crying to me when Wei Wuxian is angry with you later.
Wen Ning glanced over at her and said,
He was going to find out eventually.
Lung Wanxi looked at Lan Xichen and said, quietly, Is there no way to help him? Lan Xichen closed his eyes briefly. I had always thought once a golden core was lost, it could never be regained at all. Wei Wuxian and Wen Ting are clearly quite gifted. If they say that the only way to restore a golden core is to have one given to you, I believe them. A thought occurred to Lung Wanxi. Does it have to be voluntarily given? He asked Wen Ting. She gave him a questioning look. There are cultivators who commit unforgivable crimes. Tsing clan members who are going to attack us here. Could one of their golden cores be given to Wei Ying?
No, she said, shaking her head. The golden core must be freely given or it will kill the recipient.
Lung Wanxi held back a curse, forced it to stay between his lips. Wei Wuxian had made his choice. All he could do was support him in that.
But at least clan leader Qiang will help us now, Wen Ning said, looking more proud of himself than perhaps was entirely proper.
There may be more help coming, Lan Xichen said. Before I left, I spoke with A Yao. He may...
No,
Lung Wanxi snapped, far more intensely than he meant to. Lan Xichen blinked at him in surprise. Lung Wanxi took a deep breath and said,
Zhang Sheng, may I speak with you about this privately?
Of course, Lan Xichen said, frowning slightly. Wen Ting and Wen Ning exchanged a glance, but then bowed to the Lan brothers and walked away.
I understand that you and Xing Guang Yao share a feeling of brotherhood, Lung Wanxi said, forcing his voice to remain calm and even. But in this circumstance, he cannot be trusted to have Wei Ying's best interests in mind.
Wanxi, why would you...
Because I have seen it,
Lung Wanxi said, and stopped to take a deep breath.
I have watched Xing Guangyao stab Wei Ying in the back to gain his father's approval. I have watched him do it more than once. Xing Guangshan's acceptance and approval will always be Xing Guangyao's priority. I am not saying that I think this is unreasonable. I understand he grew up in difficult circumstances, that he was rejected for things beyond his control more than once. I do not fault him for wanting to remain in his father's good graces now that he has been accepted. We cannot, and I will not, entrust him with Wei Ying's safety.
Lan Xichen looked troubled, considering this.
I have spoken to Ayao on more than one occasion about his acceptance into the Xing clan. I know that it was important to him, but sometimes I wish...
His voice trailed off.
Very well, Wansi. I will write to Ayao and let him know that I have decided that I cannot in good conscience ask him to stand against his clan leader. Perhaps, depending on what becomes of Clan Leader Xing during this battle, we can further discuss this afterwards.
Long Wansi managed a nod, feeling some of the tension ease out of his shoulders. He hadn't yet thought about the afterwards, hadn't yet progressed into believing there would be an afterwards. He was not sure if he believed if any or all of them would survive, could not know where he would wake up the morning after the battle. It had been 6 days. The next would be the 7th. He hoped that he had done enough, but if he had not, he would try again. He would continue to try as many times as needed, as long as the earth still turned. He would keep fighting, as Wei Wuxian had kept fighting after losing his golden core. He could not do any less.
For most of the day, Long Wansi was wrapped up in strategy meetings with the other cultivators. Wei Wuxian and Jiang Cheng made their way back to the village about an hour after the others left them to their reunion. Wei Wuxian had obviously been crying, but he was smiling when he came back. They talked about the various defenses they would set up. Now that Tiang Cheng and his fellow cultivators were there, they would put traps in the surrounding forest, reinforce the wards around the area. It was a day of hard work, and he was exhausted by the time he sat down to dinner. Wei Wuxian thumped into the seat next to him and set to his meal with a ferocious hunger. Long Wansi wondered if the cultivation he did took up more energy than the kind he was used to. He had so many questions and didn't know how to ask any of them.
I think the army intends to leave tomorrow morning, Jiang Cheng said as he sat down to his own meal. So I would expect that they won't arrive until midday. Is Clan Leader Xing going to lead them? Wei Wuxian asked.
Jiang Cheng nodded.
At least that's what he was saying when I left.
Wei Wuxian looked unhappy about that, but from Long Wansi's point of view, that was all to the better. Xing Guangshan was the driving force against Wei Wuxian. If he fell here, the path forward became much more clear. Xin Zishuan was clearly willing to bow to Yanli's wishes on the matter, so when he became head of the clan, the pursuit of Wei Wuxian would fade. After they finished eating, Long Wansi pulled Wei Wuxian towards the inner cave where he slept. Wei Wuxian followed, and once they were out of earshot of the others, said,
"Do you regret it, then?"
Long Wansi could barely think of a day in the past few years he had held less regret than he did at that moment.
Regret what?
Marrying me, Wei Wuxian said. Someone without a golden core. Someone who can never be a cultivator again. Who can never walk the path we imagined we would walk together. Long Wansi was so taken aback that for a moment he could not reply. He gathered his thoughts and said,
Wei Ying, I am even more proud to be your husband today than I was yesterday.
Wei Wuxian blinked at him.
But I'm... You are the strongest, bravest person I have ever met, Long Wansi said. I only wish you had told me that I could have helped you.
There was nothing anybody could do, Wei Wuxian said, looking away.
I know, Long Wansi said. But I could have been by your side. You didn't have to carry the burden alone.
Why would it have made a difference? Wei Wuxian turned to him, tears scattering from his eyes.
You knew me. You knew I must have had good reasons to give up Sui Bian, to wield Chen Qing and use those crafty tricks. You spoke pretty words about wanting to help me, but you still believed that what I was doing was wrong. You still believed that I was using demonic cultivation because it was easier, more powerful. You never stopped to think about why I was doing it. Why should I have told you if you couldn't come to the conclusion on your own that I had good reasons?
Long Wansi accepted the angry words without flinching, even as he felt them burn through his skin. Wei Wuxian was right. He had offered his help without doing the one thing that actually would have helped, accepting Wei Wuxian's decisions as the right ones, no matter what, because Wei Wuxian had made them. Because Wei Wuxian was the man who had pledged to live justly and help the innocent. Because Wei Wuxian was the man he loved.
I was wrong, he said. I should have believed you. My words at the time were not meant in judgment, only in concern for your welfare. But I should have made it clear that I would stand by your side no matter what choices you made. Will you forgive me?
Wei Wuxian wiped his eyes and said, I forgive you. I just wish things had been different. That's all. Long once he sat down on the bed and drew Wei Wuxian down next to him.
I wish that as well. There are choices I made that I deeply regret, but I've done my best to correct them. I think perhaps this is all any of us can do.
I guess so. Wei Wuxian leaned against him, letting Long Wanxi cradle his body against his shoulder.
Does it hurt? Long Wanxi asked softly. Even now?
Wei Wuxian nodded. It always hurts. Sometimes more than other times. Long Wanxi considered this.
May I play the guqin for you? To see if it helps.
A smile touched Wei Wuxian's face. I'd like that. He lay down and Long Wanxi took off his boots and then drew the blanket up over him. He sat down next to the bed and took out his guqin. Hey Lan Chan, Wei Wuxian said softly from the bed. I want you to know that I trust you, no matter what. Whenever you want to tell me the secret that you've been holding on to, I'll listen. But if you don't tell me, that's all right too. Long Wanxi studied him for a moment, then nodded and began to play. Not long afterwards, Wei Wuxian was asleep. When Xing Guangshan arrived with his cultivators, Lan Xichen tried to reason with him. Wei Wuxian was not hurting anybody, he said. There was no reason to go this far against him. They could discuss the matter of the Stygian Tiger amulet like the allies they were supposed to be. It didn't work, and in truth, Long Wanxi was grateful. He was sick of having the Xing clan's sword hanging over Wei Wuxian's neck. He feared that he would remain trapped in the cycle of regret until the problem was finally irrevocably dealt with. Several of the cultivators, seeing the forces that had amassed to protect the burial mounds, had second thoughts. They were there to fight the Yiling Patriarch. They were not there to fight the great Sewu Jun and Hung Wan Jun, let alone dozens of cultivators from both the Lan and the Qiang clans. Xing Guangshan ordered the attack anyway, but many of them hung back, as the more fervent of his followers advanced. Sun Zishun went straight for Wei Wuxian, and Long Wanxi blocked his attack. Wei Wuxian raised Chen Ting to his lips. Chaos erupted. Long Wanxi hovered by Wei Wuxian, protecting his back while Wen Ning protected his front. The Wen refugees were huddled in the cave, and Wei Wuxian didn't let a single one of their soldiers get close. Despite all his faults, Xing Guangshan was an accomplished fighter. He cut down the men between himself and Wei Wuxian, between himself and the Stygian Tiger amulet he was determined to possess. Even Wen Ning was flung aside, although he quickly righted himself. But by the time he had regained his balance, he was too far away. Long Wanxi blocked Xing Guangshan's sword and grunted with effort. The blinding light of Zidian looped around Xing Guangshan's throat.
Don't touch my brother!
Tiang Cheng shouted, yanking Xing Guangshan up into the air, and then slamming him into the ground. Tiang Cheng, Wei Wuxian whispered, and Long Wanxi could see tears of joy and relief trickling down his cheeks. Xing Guangshan tried to get up. Long Wanxi did not let him. The battle was over. Wei Wuxian still lived, and Long Wanxi did not wake up back at Kui Tower. He woke in the bed in Demon Subdue Palace, with Wei Wuxian sprawled across his chest. He studied him for a long moment, and then finally allowed himself to breathe. Good morning, husband, Wei Wuxian murmured, without opening his eyes. Long Wanxi was glad his eyes were closed, so he couldn't see the absolutely stupid smile Long Wanxi was now wearing. He hadn't known his face was capable of making that unflattering expression and hoped nobody ever saw it.
Good morning, husband.
Wei Wuxian smiled and nestled closer. Thank you.
For what? Long Wanxi asked.
For what? You saved my life. We could have never survived if you hadn't come here, hadn't gotten your brother and then my brother to help us. Since he knew this was true, Long Wanxi could not argue. Instead, he said,
It was no more than you deserved.
True, Wei Wuxian said with considerable cheer in his voice. But all the same, thanks for finally figuring that out.
Lung Wanzi gave a snort despite himself, shaking his head at Wei Wuxian. He studied him for another moment before asking, "Will you come back to Gusu with me?" Wei Wuxian's eyes finally opened. He laughed and said, "What would you do with me in Cloud Recesses? Grandmaster Lan would throw me out on my ass after 4 days. Do you expect me to go the rest of my life without drinking or making noise? I love you, but there's only so much you can ask for from me."
"And a little self-control is apparently too much," Lung Wanzi said, and Wei Wuxian just laughed. "All right, then I will stay here with you."
Wei Wuxian shook his head, and for a moment Lung Wanzi was worried that Wei Wuxian didn't want him to stay. Then Wei Wuxian said, "I'm going back to Lotus Pier."
"Truly?" Lung Wanzi was surprised. "Are you sure?"
"Qiang Cheng and I talked about it yesterday. He insisted, actually." Wei Wuxian dropped his voice a notch in a rough parody of his brother's and said,
"You've been fooling around in Yuling long enough. You need to come home and help me rebuild the clan."
Lung Wanzi was amused, because of course Tiang Cheng would phrase it that way, would never make it sound like he was doing this for Wei Wuxian's benefit. But in his own way, this was the most generous thing Tiang Cheng could offer, going back to the way things had been. Returning to the normal of being the long-suffering brother who begrudgingly put up with Wei Wuxian's antics. That, more than any words of regret or apology for Wei Wuxian's suffering, would help them both heal.
"What about the Wen refugees?"
"They're coming with me," Wei Wuxian said. "And yes, Jiang Cheng already agreed to that."
"Good," Lung Wanzi said, relieved.
It was finally over.
"But the wedding will be held at Cloud Recesses."
Wei Wuxian laughed. "All right." Lung Wanzi studied him for a moment, memorizing his eyes and his smile and the way his fingers traced over Lung Wanzi's forehead ribbon.
"I have been trapped in a cycle of regret."
Wei Wuxian blinked.
"For how long?" "I don't know exactly. I think over a year, perhaps as much as a year and a half."
Lung Wanzi entwined his fingers with Wei Wuxian's, rubbing his thumb over Wei Wuxian's knuckles.
"It began after I sent the invitation to Xingling's naming ceremony. The week that followed, Xing Guangshan's insistence on obtaining the Stygian Tiger amulet and killing the refugees. It culminated in your death."
"I died?"
Wei Wuxian didn't sound as surprised about this as he perhaps should have been. He looked away and said,
"I see."
"The regrets I held, that I had not been here to help you when it mattered, trapped me in the cycle. I tried to save you many times."
"If it was over a year and each cycle was about a week, then you must have tried at least 50 times, Wei Wuxian said.
"More," Lung Wanzi said. "Far more. Often the cycle was only 2 or 3 days. 7 was the most it ever lasted. 7 was the original length of the set of events. But due to my changing things, you often died after only 2 or 3 instead. I stopped counting after a while, but my estimate is that it was over 100 times.
"You watched me die 100 times, Wei Wuxian said.
Lung Wanzi nodded.
"Yes."
Wei Wuxian reached up without untwining their fingers and caressed Lung Wanzi's forehead. "That must have been terrible for you."
"It was," Lung Wanzi admitted. "It was frustrating and painful. I almost gave in to despair."
"You could never,"
Wei Wuxian said, smiling slightly.
"No," Lung Wanzi agreed. "Not when it was for you."
Wei Wuxian leaned in for a kiss.
"Is it over? Are you sure?"
Lung Wanzi nodded. "I no longer have any regrets. Whatever today and tomorrow brings, we will face it together."
He returned the kiss and said,
"Well, perhaps one regret."
"Which is?"
Wei Wuxian asked.
"It is not the way I would have chosen to make you my husband. I barely believed anything I did would make a difference anymore. No matter what happened, I couldn't break out of the cycle. I would like to say that it did not affect my behavior, but it did. I behaved rashly."
"I like it when you behave a little rashly," Wei Wuxian said, grinning. "And I don't mind the way it happened."
Lung Wanzi studied him for a moment and then decided that he believed him.
"Good. But when we have the real ceremony, the ribbon stays tied for 7 days.
"Sounds good to me,"
Wei Wuxian said, and kissed him again.
"Xuxia!"
Wei Wuxian threw his arms around Qiang Yanli and hugged her tightly for a long minute, before she pulled away to introduce him to the baby. Wei Wuxian cooed over his nephew and nearly exploded with joy when Qiang Yanli placed Xing Ling in his arms. They had been there about an hour when there was a quiet knock on the door, and Sun Sichuan came in. He beamed at his wife and son, looking the happiest that Meng Wanzi had ever seen him. Then he cleared his throat and said, "The clan leaders are waiting for you." Wei Wuxian nodded. He kissed Xing Ling on the forehead and deposited him back into Qiang Yanli's arms, then kissed her on the forehead as well. "I'll see you later for dinner," he said, the words spoken like a promise. She nodded in return. Wei Wuxian took Lan Wanxi by the hand, and the two of them followed Sun Sichuan down the hallway. Lan Xichen had come ahead of them to detail the battle to Xing Guangyao. Given the complicated circumstances, they had agreed that Nia Mingjue would join them as a neutral arbiter while they settled the aftermath. Lan Wanxi had been a little surprised to hear that Xing Guangyao was now the clan leader instead of Sun Sichuan. A quiet, semi-tactful question about it had led to a polite smile in the words. "Xing Guangyao is so talented, he deserves the position." Lan Guangxi wondered if Sun Sichuan had decided that he would rather forsake the position of clan leader, if it meant not always watching for a knife in the back. If so, he was more perceptive than Lan Guangxi had given him credit for. Greetings were made and bows exchanged. Wei Wuxian sat down on one side of the table with Lan Guangxi, Lan Xichen, and Qiang Cheng. On the other side of the table, Sun Sichuan sat down next to Xing Guangyao. Nia Mingjue sat at the head of the table and grunted for them to begin the discussion.
"What happened to my father is unfortunate," Xing Guangyao said, looking as if he didn't find it unfortunate at all. "However, it is clear to me that he attacked Wei Wuxian without provocation. Therefore, I cannot say that Wei Wuxian was in the wrong to defend himself. Nor can I say that the Lan clan and the Qiang clan were wrong to defend him."
Lan Xichen nodded. "Thank you, Guangyao."
"So everything is..." Wei Wuxian started to say before Lan Guangxi gripped his wrist. "However, my clan has suffered a heavy blow due to this," Xing Guangyao interrupted him. "A price must be paid for that."
"Did you have something particular in mind?" Lan Xichen asked, and even he looked slightly wary.
"There is still the matter of the Stygian Tiger Amulet," Xing Guangyao pointed out.
"Ah," Wei Wuxian said, exchanging a sideways glance with Lan Guangxi, glad that they had anticipated this.
"We destroyed it."
Xing Guangyao blinked.
"You destroyed it?"
Wei Wuxian nodded.
"I decided that all you wonderful cultivators were probably right in the first place. Besides, I don't need it if I'm not going to have to protect the Wen refugees. I have Tiang Cheng and Lan Chan to take care of me now."
Tiang Cheng made an audible noise of annoyance.
"Se Wu Jun witnessed the destruction," Wei Wuxian added, "in case you don't want to trust me. No hard feelings."
Xing Guangyao looked at Lan Xichen, who nodded and gave him a warm smile. "It's good news, isn't it, Guangyao? We no longer have to worry about its darkness polluting the world."
"Of course," Xing Guangyao smiled, showing his perfect dimples. "I'm relieved. You knew exactly what I was going to ask for."
"Then matters are settled?"
Nia Mingjue asked, giving each of the participants a close look.
"The alliances between the three clans in question will hold?"
"And hold firm,"
Xing Guangyao said, still smiling, although really only in Lan Xichen's direction.
"Oh, and I look forward to the wedding."
"Whose wedding?"
Qiang Cheng asked, picking up his cup of tea.
"Oh, did I forget to tell you?" Wei Wuxian asked. "Lan Chan and I are getting married."
Qiang Cheng spit his tea all over his brother. They departed from Lanling the next day. Qiang Yanli promised to come visit them at Lotus Pier soon. Lan Xichen said that he would start making arrangements for the wedding if they could be back in Cloud Recesses in 1 month.
"I'll also break the news to the Grandmaster," he said,
and Wei Wuxian let out a gusty sigh of relief.
"You haven't been back since the hunting tournament, have you?"
Lan Guangxi asked as they boarded the boat.
Wei Wuxian shook his head. "And even then, only a part of me came back after the burial mounds."
Lan Guangxi saw Wei Wuxian's hand press against his chest and realized for the first time that what had seemed like a nervous gesture he had picked up was one born from physical pain. He put his hand over Wei Wuxian's, letting some of his healing power seep from his hand and into Wei Wuxian's body.
"Thank you," Wei Wuxian said quietly. "But that doesn't help. There's no wound to heal."
He summoned a smile and said,
"But it did help when you played the guqin for me. Maybe some music for our journey?"
Lan Guangxi nodded and sat down near the prow of the boat. He saw Wen Ting and Wen Ning sit down on either side of Wei Wuxian, pressing in close to him. Tiang Cheng sat across from him, and when Wei Wuxian offered him a tentative smile, Tiang Cheng scoffed and then nudged Wei Wuxian's foot with his own. Wei Wuxian's smile widened. After a while, Wei Wuxian dozed off. The trip took most of the day and into the night, but when they arrived, the Tiang clan's disciples were waiting despite the late hour. Tiang Cheng greeted them and started delegating duties to get the Wen refugees settled in before they headed up to the manor house. Wei Wuxian looked a little sad as he touched the door of the house at Lotus Pier. "I'm home," he said softly. Long Wanxi reached out and folded Wei Wuxian's hand in his.
"We're home," he corrected.
Wei Wuxian turned to him, and the sadness melted into that beautiful, brilliant smile.
"Yeah, yeah," he said. "You're right. We're home."
Long Wanxi couldn't wait to see what their tomorrows would bring. The end.